Thing. What's he doing up here? Matt never uses stools. Well, boy, that could go the wrong way. Matt never. I have two stools up here. Let's just forget I said that part. I have a guest speaker. My wife's going to help me out today. I'm actually only setting the stage. And then God has really walked her through quite the journey within this last year. And then realizing what I was going to be talking about, she said, I just feel like I need to share, and I know that's God because this is not her comfort zone, but I appreciate her willingness. And so today we are ending our series. It's been Reboot, Leading Healthy Lives. We've talked about, I probably won't remember them all, but physical, financial, mental, spiritual health, all the different ways of health, different ways that we could look in our life. And the reboot idea is, do we need a reboot? And so what we've done is we put scripture to all these different ways of life. And how are we walking through life in these areas? What's the Word of God say about how we're walking through life? And today is emotional health. Raise your hand if you have emotions. There you go. Emotional health. This is extremely interesting because we all have to deal with this. Last week, and I appreciated Liz and Kevin being here, they talked about mental health, and she went through just a portion of her life story where she dealt with the mental side of health, that even things that she couldn't control within her mind. But emotional health, we all have emotions, and there are ways to deal with our emotions. And I want to start off by reading this study I found. Extremely interesting. When you think of emotions, if you were to name a few, the ones that pop off my head, I'll read some of them. But you have happiness, sadness. Anyone, emotion that you deal with? Fear, yeah, I mean, anxieties. There are different emotions. So just let me read this start to you. Psychologically, what's this? Now I'm going to skip that part. There was a study. Here we go. Psychology once assumed that most human emotions fall within the universal categories of happiness, sadness, anger, surprise, fear, and disgust. But a new study from Greater Good Science Center faculty director, Dr. Keltner, suggests that there are at least 27 distinct emotions, and they are intimately connected with each other. So what they did is they formed a study. I'm going to read just part of what they ended up doing and the people they put together. For the study, a demographically diverse group of 853 men and women went online to view random sampling of silent 5 to 10 second videos intended to evoke a broad range of emotions. From that, themes from 2,185 video clips collected from various online sources for the study, they included birth of babies, weddings, proposals, death, suffering, spiders, snakes, physical pratfalls, risky stunts, sexual acts, natural disasters, wondrous nature, and awkward handshakes. So all these videos had all these different things, 5 to 10 second clips, and I'm sure everyone was like hooked up to these little things on your head just to see what was your reaction inner to all of these different situations. And what was interesting was this, and this is what I want to drive home to us. Overall, the results showed that study participants generally shared the same or similar emotional responses to each of the videos, providing a wealth of data that allowed researchers to identify 27 distinct categories of emotion. And that struck me because do we all handle emotions the same? We don't. It's all over the map. But the study is showing that the way that we can receive a reaction from something that happened actually is quite similar. Now, this isn't, you know, set in stone, but 850-some people that went through the same style test had very similar reactions to what they were seeing. So how we feel or how we take is quite similar, but how we react to an emotion can be quite different. And so what I wanted to do is start off with this, and there again, I'm simply setting the stage. Woo, that's small. Here we go, old eyes. Listen to this. Emotional health is the ability to cope. You grab that part? We're talking about emotional health, not just emotions, but the health of those emotions. Emotional health is the ability to cope with both positive and negative emotions, which includes your awareness of them. So when something in life happens, you have to deal with it. Maybe it was of your doing. Many times it's not. You just have to, wait a second, this just happened. But how you react, how you cope, that is actually up to us. But all of us probably have a way of just coping. How does that line up with God's word? We've talked a lot about, I just did a funeral, I read these scriptures, how to love. You love with patience and peace and kindness. You don't love with, you keep no record of wrongs. You're not rude. I mean, all these different ways of love. You talk about selflessness. You love others above yourself. You talk about the greatest commandments. You love God, but then you love others. All these different things might show, hey, this is how you treat people. But when emotions come in, how often do we see ourselves treating people emotionally? It's almost like we don't take the time. Let's cope with this emotion. God, what can I do with this? And then how do I react? So it can be very dangerous when we react out of emotion versus the ability to cope and understand and then react. I have had a crazy month when it comes to emotions, probably even year. We started this refresh and this idea. And trust me, there's a lot. When you talk about changes in a church, there's a lot of emotions that go on. There's a lot of opinions. There's the fact that you feel, hey, I'm the leader. If this is or isn't working, it's on me. There's a lot of things that go on. But just recently, I've dealt with three I want to talk about real quickly in the last probably 2 weeks. Lost one of my best friends. Total surprise. He's having dinner. In between a laugh, falls over. And they said basically it was actual cardiac arrest. There was no heart attack. It literally, like someone flipped his heart switch off. He goes into like a coma state, never comes out of it. We're up at the hospital. While you're up there, you see different reactions that give you hope. I prayed over him. I prayed for his healing. As my wife and I are walking out of the room, he starts this kind of a coughing and twitching and his eyes opening. I thought, this is it. Praise God. You know, can you imagine that emotion? One minute you're sad, you're seeing a friend that appears nothing's going on, and that ended up settling back down. And nothing came out of that. A few days later, he was tested and deemed to have no brain function whatsoever. So the family asked if I would be with him when they pull the tube. So we went up a few days later. They pulled the tube out. Can you imagine being there for that? Is he going to live? So emotions are just going all over the place. The whole time you're just watching family deal with the loss of a brother, of a nephew, of a boyfriend. And then I get the call 2 days later where he had passed. And so this was interesting, the fact that we've been friends since he was 13, I was 11. And we did about everything together. But I also got him a job at the dairy. And so we were part of each other's lives, even lately since I've been on days every day. So I've been able to watch people's reaction to this. And it's very different. Some just kind of disbelief. Some sorrow. One in particular is anger. I watched him, one person kind of lash out at another and asking about the situation. And it was undeserved punishment, but that's how he's dealing with that. And so our reactions can have a lot to do with how people perceive us. And so emotions are very powerful, very strong. Sometimes you don't even control them. Not to get more depressing, but a week after my friend passed, we knew that our dog of 14 years, Max, he wasn't doing well. He had a rough last 6 months, had a great 14 years, but he was 14 and a half. And so several probably weekly appointments and medicines and just, you know, saying, hey, keep going, buddy. And the doctors finally said, you're going to have to make a decision. His health is failing and he's too old to pull out of the situations that he's having. So we allowed him to stay around for Thanksgiving. Family came in. And we took him in, and you tell yourself, anyone ever gone in and had an animal put down right in front of you? That's a tough one, I'm telling you. But you, Matt, be strong, you know, be strong for Jess and all this. And you go in, and I've dealt with funerals, you know, just did six this year. I sit with families that have gone through this, and you watch. And God, I just always figure God just giving me this ability to keep it together. And so we're in there. Doctor gives the one thing that just makes him fall asleep, gives him the other thing that stops the heartbeat. And that doctor no more took a step out of the door than I lost control. Oh, wait a second, man, you can, you know, emotions can be so strong that at times you can't even control that reaction. Now, this is a situation where I didn't do it to someone else, but the doctor walked out. I just wept, laid my head right on the little guy and just wept. Because years and years and years of something that meant to you, it's now you realize, okay, that's gone. So it's not that you control every single emotion, but the reaction of that. Guess what happened when I was driving home? My wife and I said, after this, babe, no more pets. We can travel a bit, you know. Don't have to make sure someone's watching them or take them to a kennel, maybe have a bad experience. I'm driving home. I'm like, am I the only one that has an urge to go buy a puppy? I mean, why? Because there's something in you that wants to react to what I'm missing this person already, this little guy, this little, so I need to react. I need to fill in the blank. Now take that to a human position or a human state where you've lost something and you want to replace it so quickly. How well does that usually work out? Emotional responses are very dangerous. I've watched friends jump right back into relationships to try and replace a loss. Maybe it was through a death, maybe it was through a divorce. But that can be very dangerous when we act on that emotion instead of taking time. Well, then we go home over the next probably week. I'm realizing what I miss so much about Max was this constant love all the time. You walk in the door. Now, we're talking about a pet, but just think about the emotion. I walk in the door, and I was always greeted with happiness. I would sit down to take my boots off. I was always greeted with licks on the face. Every single time. I could leave for 10 minutes, come back. He was just as happy to see me the next time. I was missing that. So I told my wife she needed to up her game. When I get home, you know, be happy and lick me on the face. We'll be just fine. The thing is, as we go through these things, as we try to comprehend our emotions, the hard thing to do is, what's the response of other people as I'm going through this? Am I taking my life's difficulties, and we're talking about some negative, but there's positive emotions too, but am I taking the hard things in life? Am I making someone else suffer for what I'm going through? And that's where it's not fair to other people. Because that friend that someone got lashed out at, he didn't do anything but put our friend into the hospital. He was just kind of asked the wrong questions at the wrong time. Sort of a thing. So the ability to learn to control what we're feeling as it goes out, that's really the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to take the time and to cope and to think it through before we react. And Jess, would you go ahead and come up? I'm going to read these next two things. Emotional health is an important part of overall health. People who are emotionally healthy, now listen to this, they are able to cope with life's challenges. Doesn't mean they won't have challenges, doesn't mean they're any different in any other way. It's really the coping skills, the understanding of what hits you as to how you are now going to react to it. They can keep problems in perspective and bounce back from setbacks. They feel good about themselves and have good relationships. Being emotionally healthy doesn't mean you're happy all the time. It means you're aware of your emotions. You can deal with them. Emotionally healthy people still feel stress, anger, and sadness, but they know how to manage their feelings. So then something else happens during this. I'm going to be extremely vague, but I had to meet with someone on a leadership level. And so as I've done this before, as you build and grow a church and you see certain things, and there's sometimes I think, hey, I think God needs to do something here. So you sit people down. This hasn't always worked out well for me. Not just me, but leaders. If you lead anything from Picture sitting a husband or wife down and say, hey, we need to talk. I see something that needs direction. Sitting your kids down. Maybe you run a business. Sitting employees down and say, hey, I see something. It can be great, but we need to do this and this. And so I did that from a leadership perspective. And at first, didn't go well, at least my perspective. And so for a day, I'm going through life, probably already, I'm like, God, three things at one time, but I'm probably already somewhat emotional anyway. But I'm going through, you know, if this doesn't go well, not only do I lose a great leader, I lose a phenomenal friend. And I realized at that point, and I even told my wife, I said, I think it's more difficult emotionally to lose a friend that's still alive than to lose a friend to death. Because that possibility hit me so hard. And praise God, it wasn't a day later that I realized that relationship wasn't lost and things were received. And praise God for that. But it walked my mind through, my gosh. Sometimes anyone ever ask yourselves, how much more do I take? God has a passionate love, and his word says that you will not be given more than you will withstand. But that was something emotional that was just, that I almost couldn't control. I just thought of it all the time. So here I am, I'm dealing with, in my mind, three things now that I'm struggling with. The loss of a best friend, the loss of just a 14-year pet that just gave me constant joy, and then is the possibility of a loss of a friendship. And I'm walking from my shop at the dairy, from a mechanic shop, in, and I remember saying to myself as I'm walking in, I don't know that I've ever been in this place emotional before. It was just a very rough spot for my mind, and it was trying to, my mind constantly tries to fix everything. And so I just told myself, man, you're at a low spot. I walk in the door. We have this door that opens up on it. So I walk through, and a friend of mine walks by me. He looks over. I'm not even really paying attention. He looks over at me and goes, well, there's my friend that's always smiling. You're just happy all the time, aren't you? And he walks on. And I stopped and I thought, I'm about at my lowest. What is he even talking about? But apparently just my face, as he walked by, I just looked over and smiled, maybe like I usually do. And so when I thought of that, it almost, you might think, oh, Matt, you're just faking it. There is a hope within us when you have a passion for Christ that can still shine through. And that hope can pull you through times when you think, hey, this is a little bit too much for me. And so my friend actually saw that I was still probably through this Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God, able to give out so much as a smile that made him enough to stop and appreciate my ever-present happiness when I was as sad as I had been probably in years. That's the power of God. So what you're about to hear now and why I think this is so important is something you might not hear a lot about. When it comes to emotion, there's something that I even skip over in the Bible. Who reads Lamentations every morning before you go to work? Jess, she's going to talk a bit about this last year in her life, but she's going to focus on the ability to lament. And at the end, we're going to have an opportunity just to sit and wait on God a bit and look, examine your own heart, your own lives, your own emotions, what you're going through, how you are handling it, how you are coping with it. So pay close attention, because this is of God, is powerful, and he desired for us to hear this today. Yep.
Okay. So you're probably wondering why Matt's up here. He's being very gracious. I said, if I'm going to do this, I need a buddy. I just need a buddy to be sitting next to me. And so he's like, you know, it's a little weird, but okay, I'll do it. And actually, you kind of skipped a slide. That's okay. Well, I'll do it.
Oh, I didn't read my last slide. That's okay. Yes.
Let me go to it.
Yeah.
So we were just kind of thinking this through, and just the reality is that we are all emotional beings. To say we don't suffer and struggle with emotions would just be for fooling ourselves. So it's not so much that you know, we are going to have emotions. We are going to face stress. We are going to face worry. We are going to face anger. We're going to face sadness. We're going to face all of it. But the question is, you know, how do we manage those emotions? And so this year for me has just been an interesting year for sure. I think it kind of forced me to face some things that maybe I hadn't wanted to look at for a while. And it was kind of like a perfect storm of just a lot of things coming at me all at once, from stress, discouragement, loneliness, exhaustion to the point of almost burnout, I'd say, and even facing some anxiety and some things that I had really never dealt with before, honestly. So it was a lot. I feel like it's a little loud. Maybe it's not.
You're good.
It was just a lot to take in. And I kind of just didn't feel like myself. Kind of felt like I was just someone different, someone I didn't maybe recognize. And as I look at this last year, I know God was really bringing me to this point where he was kind of forcing me to face some things and to learn some things about my own life and the way I handle and process emotions. So there is, you want to go to the next slide. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I feel like it's important to sort of look at some harmful ways that we might be managing our emotions. Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, at any time, we could all find ourselves landing in one of these spots if we're not walking in healthy ways as we sort of navigate life. And so these are some things I found online that sometimes we'll walk in denial that, you know, just like kind of brushing aside our emotions, maybe not wanting to look at them, just ignoring them, maybe hoping they'll go away. There might be a tendency to withdraw, where we kind of isolate ourselves from others. Bullying, I thought this was interesting. I thought, what does this have to do with handling our emotions? But I'm sure we all know those people in our lives that they just don't feel good about themselves. And so kind of their goal in life is just to make others feel badly about themselves. And, you know, they have different strategies for doing that. Threats or being forceful or, you know, ridicule or even criticism sometimes. So that's another thing. And then engaging in risky or harmful behaviors. This is where we would find things like self-harm, self-medicating, substance abuse, just things that just are not healthy for us at all, but it's just a way to cope. So that's just kind of a quick little tutorial. Again, not wanting to spend a lot of time here, but I think it's important to look at it and say, do I see myself sometimes in any of these places as I'm sort of processing life? So back to kind of me and what some things that God really showed me about myself this year and about him. And I just want to kind of walk through those.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You weren't kidding. So I learned about myself as I was processing some hard things. Is that my tendency is to want to avoid negative emotions and just sort of carry on as if everything's fine. I think part of that is my personality, but part of that too, you know, when you're kind of in a leadership role in ministry, you know, you don't want people to think that you are like this loser who doesn't have it together, you know, like, and so I think, you know, there's, you know, things happen in life. And so you want to just sort of, for me, I tend to just want to sort of go on and move on and be this brave Christian woman who, you know, is good. And so, you know, you'll tell yourself, I'm good, I'm fine. But the reality is, you know, I'm not good and it's not fine. And so that's my tendency. I just like to avoid negativity. I don't like conflict. I'm a peacemaker. I want everybody to be happy. And, you know, so that's just kind of how I'm wired. And again, just spending much of my life with the belief that I have to have it all together. That admitting that I might have some places that I'm struggling, or areas where I'm struggling, might make me seem weak or whiny, you know, and I just don't like that. I don't want to seem weak or whiny. So, but, you know, and as Christians, sometimes that belief that, well, isn't our faith like enough to get us through whatever we're walking through? But I'm learning that it's actually healthy to acknowledge my feelings, that it's okay to say, I'm sad right now, or I'm a little discouraged right now, or, you know, whatever it is, that's actually healthy and doesn't make me weak. But what, if you remember, if you go back to that definition, we don't have to, but part of emotional health is an awareness of what we're walking through. And so if we can be aware of it and acknowledge it, that's actually very healthy. So as I was acknowledging some things that I was feeling, some emotions I was having, I realized that there was just some pain spots in my life that I hadn't really dealt with, some things I needed to address, and some things I really needed to bring to the Lord. So, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but I was reading a book that was talking about, it was a book written for pastors' wives, and one of the things that the author talks about is the ability to lament. And I'm like, what is lament? I'd never heard of this before. But it was something I had to kind of walk through, and I'm going to go through that in a little bit. But so the reality is, and this is something I had to come to this year too, the reality is I'm human. And I think sometimes we think we have to be superhuman, that if we admit we're going through something or we're having a struggle or we feel off, that, you know, there's something wrong with us, and that's just not the case. We all face things. We all face hard seasons. We all face negative emotions. But God really showed me, like, not only am I human, but He wants me to embrace my humanness. And there's a verse, I'm not going to read it, but there's a verse in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about he likens Christ followers to fragile clay jars that allow His light to shine through the cracks. And I feel like God loves using broken vessels, and that's really when His light can shine the brightest. And so just acknowledging our brokenness, acknowledging our need for Him. And He showed me a lot more, but that's just some bullet points. And He's still showing me things. I'm still kind of walking through this season, but I'm just really thankful that He has been teaching me a lot so that I can walk in health. I can be emotionally healthy. And so... So just some helpful ways, some things that I'm doing, some things that we all could use, all could benefit from, I think, as we walk in emotional health. And that's just acknowledging what we're feeling, just calling it out, you know, I feel sad, or I feel hurt, or I feel whatever. There's no shame in that. And then just being, you know, able to respond in appropriate ways, which Matt talked a little bit about. Just stopping, pausing, thinking before we act. Think how many times we could save ourselves and others, maybe some pain and wounding, just by doing that small little step. You know, talking to a trusted friend or mentor as well about what you're walking through can be really helpful. I know I've been walking closely with my mentor these last few months, and talking to someone who understands because they've been in your shoes can also be really helpful. One of the things that I've walked through this year is sort of a processing of some of the challenges that come from being married to the pastor. And there's a lot of joy, and there's a lot of joy that comes from being married to the pastor, but there's also some challenges. And when you're married to a man that's like such a strong leader, and you can sometimes feel like you're left in his shadow. And so I've been processing through that. And so, talking to other pastors' wives has been really helpful. Because they're in my shoes and they know my situation. And so something like that, finding a support group, people that have been down the road and can, speak to what you're walking through can be really helpful too. And, knowing when to reach out to help for help, when to see your doctor or a counselor or a therapist. I know as I walk through this year, it's interesting, our emotional health, it kind of spills over into our physical health if we don't have a good handle on our emotions. And so I was having some physical issues this year that I had never had before. So I reached out to my doctor for just some counsel, like what's going on here? And he was able to sort of help me identify some things that was going on. But there's no shame in reaching out to a counselor or working with a therapist. These people are trained professionals to deal with some things that we're walking through. And then practicing the skill of lament. Really, lament is it's taking our hurt to the God who sees and the God who understands and the God who cares. I'm not going to go into the story, but in Genesis 16, if you have a chance this week, I'd encourage you to read it. It's the first time that the God who sees is identified in Scripture by Hagar. As she's in the wilderness all alone, she'd run away from Abraham and Sarah. And she was just very alone, and the angel of the Lord meets her there and really encourages her and lets her know she's not alone, that he sees her. And so she calls him the God who sees. And so we really do have a God who sees. And he just wants us to come to him with our stuff. I kind of liken it to the stinky parts of life that you probably won't be able to change them. They're just there. And he's just kind of waiting and ready to just hear our cries. And so lament, I like how this is defined. Lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart, wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness. We're sort of stuck in this reality of life, right? And sometimes it's not fun, but God's goodness is still there. And we still have the hope of, a future with him. And so, God invites us to come to him with all of it, even our questions, and he can handle it. And so, we don't live in a continual state of lament. Sometimes we do have to go there. We have to let ourselves go there. So I was meeting with my mentor and we were kind of walking through some things. She's like, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to go home and cry. And I know that sounds a little weird, but like, I just needed to go home and cry and just bring my stuff to the Lord so that he could start to mend some broken places. And so it was kind of a cool thing. But like I said, it's not like it's going to change our circumstance necessarily. The job might still be gone. That relationship might still be broken. There might still be a health diagnosis that's not good. You know, whatever it is, it may not change, but I love this. But what happens is that God redirects our gaze. So, how many of you have practiced lament? You've heard of lament? I'm just really curious. Wow, I see one hand. Yeah. Try it. Try it. It's pretty powerful. So there's just a couple of scriptures that I love. Would you go to the next slide? I love this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He's there. And then David, as he's crying out to the Lord, he says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle, and you've recorded each one in your book." How cool is that? Like a God who even keeps track of our tears. And so that's the God we serve. And yeah. So I would just encourage you that if you have some pain spots, if you have some stinky things in life that are just sort of hovering there and you're not really wanting to look at them, I encourage you to take them to the God who sees. He's a God who hasn't overlooked. He actually knows, he cares, he understands. And this could just be, you know, one tool in a large tool chest of walking in emotional health. So I'd encourage you to give it a try.
I'm gonna do something a little different. I'm just gonna take a few minutes. I'm gonna bring the lights down a bit. We picked a song that is quite powerful. It's a great worship song, but just listen to the words. And I just want you guys to hang out with God for a moment by yourselves. You know, the emotions that you're dealing with, the relationships, the things around you. If things are going fantastic, praise God. Rejoice in that. Never feel bad about being in a good place. But as life can do, things come up that we have to deal with. So you may be dealing with a difficult loss. You may be dealing with a broken relationship, or maybe you're in a relationship that someone else thinks it's broken, you think it's fine, you think it's fine, or vice versa. Whatever through this talk has just been weighing on you, we want just to take the time to really just kind of lament, lay it before God. And sometimes that isn't, lamenting isn't always you speaking. There's a tremendous amount of listening in that. So lay it out before God, but then just kind of listen, and he can speak, and he can bring ideas to our minds. So we're just going to take just the next few minutes and just kind of have a conversation. Goes, God, listen, and just spend some time.